Okay, so last week spoke about Vayetze, on my way out, which I assume this means that this week to talk about Vayishlach, something that happened during my shlichus while I was out of town. And the truth of the matter is that somebody already came and asked, and you know, it's news that the Rebbe have any geshmaka stories that happened on the airplane this time. I don't want to disappoint anybody. My flights were pretty uneventful this time. But when you go away, it's just an occupational hazard. Things do tend to happen to you, and you notice things that you wouldn't notice otherwise. And one or two of them, you pick up a message. And Be'emes, this time, the message that I picked up, I didn't really have to go anywhere. Sitting there in my parents' home in Passaic, overhearing the conversation, that was really the schmooze for me, really, of the trip, and Be'ez Hashem, that's what we'll get to. But we're jumping ahead of ourselves, because we first have to see a little bit of a parsha, ask a question, and there's a Medrash Pliya that I want to talk about regarding the Maisa Dina. And in that context, I'll tell you what happened to me back when I was in America, and the message, hopefully, that I took from it, and maybe we should all take from it. Parsha starts this week by Yishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefonov to Esav Achiv. Yaakov sends Malachim ahead to him, to Esav his brother, Arze Seir, to Seir, Stay Edoim, to Edoim. Esav is coming towards Yaakov. There's going to be the confrontation between Yaakov and Esav. And Yaakov, before he confronts Esav, we know he davens, he sends a matana, he prepares for war. We learn lots of hishtadlus, and Baruch Hashem, the confrontation is uneventful. And at the end, Yaakov back and goes back to his place, Esav goes back to his place, and until the times of Mashiach, Yaakov and Esav are not going to be together again. At that point, Yaakov first goes to Sukkos, and after Sukkos, he goes to Shechem, and in Shechem, immediately, you read the Maisa of Dina. Vatetze Dina bas Leah asher yolda li Yaakov lirois b'vnoisa aretz. Dina is a yatsonis. She goes out. She gets herself into trouble. She wants to meet other girls in the land. Vayarois Shechem ben Chamor achivi nesia aretz. Shechem, the son of Chamor, the king, who himself is the prince of the land, sees her. Vayikach oisa, vayishkav oisa, vayaneo. He violates her. Horrible story. It doesn't end there. Shechem wants to marry her. Shechem goes to his father, and he says, "Read the shidduch. I like her." It's infuriating. It almost wants to make you scream. And Chamor goes ahead, and he talks to Yaakov, and he reads the shidduch. Vayetze Chamor avi Shechem al Yaakov l'daber ito. Chamor goes to Yaakov, and he wants to talk with him. Vayedaber Chamor itam lemor, Shechem b'ni choshka nashay v'bitchem. My son Shechem, he wants your daughter. Please give her to him as a wife. We'll give you our daughters, you'll give us your daughters. It's going to be one big happy family. Very appealing, very nice, wants to make you sick, right? It's a horrible, horrible thing. But it gets worse, or maybe it gets better, because you get some vindication, at least, when you read the Medrash, and you hear a very strange conversation that went on between Yaakov Avinu and Chamor. Amale, says the Medrash, the Medrash Tanchuma right there, says Chamor, this is a great idea. Ani yodea, I know, she'Avraham zekena nasi haya. Her grandfather, Avraham, was a nasi. He was a prince. He was a king. Va'ani nasi aretz. And I'm the prince of the land. This is what Chamor is saying. I'm the prince. I'm the king. Avraham Avinu was a king. And therefore, it's a match made in heaven. Says back Yaakov Avinu, Amalei, loy nasi nikra. Avraham Avinu was not called a nasi. He wasn't called a prince. Eloshor. He was called an ox. Shenemar v'el ha-bukar rutz Avraham. Avraham ran to the bukar. Rav tvois b'kayach shor. And a shor produces a lot of tvua. V'ata chamor. And you're a donkey. right? It sounds better if you say it in a more profane way, right? But what's it called? You're a donkey. So get away. And it's usher to plow together with a shor and a chamor. That's the medrash. Great idea. Avraham Avinu is a nasi. I'm a nasi. It's a match made in heaven. No, Avraham Avinu is a shor, and you're a chamor, and I don't want any part of a chamor. Why? Because it's shatness, it's kalayim, so get away. First of all, what are you doing calling Avraham Avinu a shor? It's not very nice. Second of all, I mean, what is it? Just some kind of a shtachy comment back to him. Avraham Avinu is a shor, and you're a chamor. So since you're a chamor, so get away from me. I mean, he's insulting him by calling him a chamor. That's what his name is. Now, what in the world is he talking about over here? Why is he saying that this is not a good shidduch because of the fact that Avraham Avinu is a shor, and he's a chamor? Okay. This is what we call a medrash pliya. What the simple pshat is in the medrash, we're not going to explore. But there's a beautiful ksav sefer that says al derech drush over here, pshat in this medrash. And lemaisa, aside from the pshat that he says in the medrash, there's a very, very big lesson over here that we can take for life. Going back to the story of my past week, so on Friday afternoon, I was sitting, unwinding, trying to learn a little bit, and the phone rings. My mother is in the other room, and she picks up the phone and starts talking as if she's talking to a long-lost friend, which she was. She's talking to somebody on the other end of the line called Gladys. Gladys, I haven't seen you 5 years, 10 years, this, that, blah, blah. How is your daughter, Joanna? How's she doing? Oh, she's a nurse. She just had a baby. She's this, that, the other thing. This other person on the other end of the line, in turn, is asking my mother, oh, how is Daniel doing? How many kids does he have? She starts asking about all of my other brothers, this, that, and the other thing. I'm thinking, I know who it is. And my mother gets off the phone, so I was right. And I said, oh, was it so-and-so? She says, yeah. What's the background of this story? You all know I grew up in Muncie, New York. Like most people in Muncie, we had a relatively decent-sized house. And once or twice a week, when it came to Pesach time, it was a lot more than that. So my mother had a woman called Gladys. I think she was originally from Haiti. Came in to help with the housework. But different things came up. You know, she had a daughter who was rather intelligent. My mother helped her get into college. She helped her get into her future profession. When my niece, unfortunately, Aleha Shalom, was very sick, so Gladys used to come on Shabbosim to make sure that they had, you know, all the machinery operating and that there weren't going to be any problems with that. So what started out as just a business relationship of somebody coming to clean your house, really, so my mother said, she's like part of the family. Ad kedei kach, but she hadn't seen her. They moved out of Muncie now. And they're living in Passaic. And it was like a long-lost friend. She was part of the family. It made a very deep impression on me. I'll tell you why. Because in this country that we live in, and I don't blame it on the fact that we live in a Jewish country, because it's exactly the opposite of being a Jewish country. In this country, the worst thing that you can be accused of being is, you know what, you guys are not familiar enough with Israeli culture. It's called a friar. You know what a friar is? A friar is like there's the Lord and there's the serfs. There's the guy on top, there's the elite, and then there's the guy who works for him. The worst thing that you can ever be called in this country is a friar, that you're working for somebody else. Why? Because the nature of the way that everything works, whether it is that you're a maid, or whether it is that you're an underling in the hospital, whether it is that you're an underling in the family or whatever it is, the people who are on top lord over the people who are on the bottom. It's an abusive and demeaning type of a relationship. So what are you going to call me, a friar? No, I'm not a friar. I have to be the elite. I'm the guy on top. You're the friar. Exactly the opposite of the way it should be. Somebody works for you, you treat them like a mensch. You get their kid into college. You treat them like a brother or a sister, no matter who they are. You treat somebody else like a human being, even though you're the employer and they're the employee. That's the way that it's supposed to be. Otherwise, you create abusive relationships and you destroy people. The Ksav Sefer says over here that when Yaakov Avinu answers Hamor, he's actually saying a very deep thing. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya. The pasuk in Yeshaya says that there's a very big difference between a shor and a chamor. The pasuk says, Yada shor kainehu. A shor knows its owner, knows its master. V'chamor, and a chamor, evus balav. A chamor doesn't know his master. A chamor knows the feeding trough. A chamor knows his stomach. The chamor knows that if he doesn't do what he's supposed to, he's not going to get his food. And he says there's a tremendous difference. A shor is the king of the animals. Chazal say that there are three animals which are kings. The birds, the king is the eagle. The beasts, the king is the lion. The behemoths, the king is the shor. And the shor, even though the shor is majestic, he's powerful and he's beautiful, he's an ox, but still he's Yodeas Konehu. He still has a sense of appreciation that he's not the top dog, that he has responsibility to others, and therefore he doesn't get carried away with himself. Yosef is also a shor. Avraham Avinu is likened to a shor. Why? Because even though Avraham Avinu was Nesi Elokim, Atah B'Seichenu, Avraham Avinu, when he sees the three Arabs, he runs to them. El Abakarotz Avraham. Avraham Avinu goes and he serves other people despite the fact that he is the king. He doesn't look at himself as the elite. He's not a snob. Mashen kein chamor. A chamor lives from his stomach. You have a chamor who's a king. You have a nasi chamor. That chamor is going to be a despot. Because all of the other people are just his slaves. They're his food. They're his. They're the people that he gets to abuse so that he can have all of his fun. He can have his time in the limelight. And no one else counts. And that's what Yaakov Avinu says to Chamor. You're right. I'm a Nasi and you're a Nasi. But there's a very big difference between us. I'm a Nasi. I'm a king. I take care of other people. You're a Nasi and you abuse other people. I'm going to give my daughter to somebody like you. She's going to be a rag. She's going to be a shmata. Because all you live for is your stomach. You live for yourself, and you don't live for the other people. L'maisa in life, many times we find ourselves that we're subservient to other people. That we don't have a situation where we're responsible for other people and that we're in a position of leadership. But it's highly important, and you should know it now, and oftentimes you find a situation where you're in charge, is that it's very, very easy to abuse power. And people make a very big mistake. They think that when I'm the boss, okay, so now when I'm the boss, I can do what I want. It's exactly the opposite. You're a father, you have children, you're more responsible. You're not more free, you're more responsible. You're a principal and you have teachers, you're more responsible. You're a Rebbe, you have Talmidim, you're more responsible. It's not, okay, fine, now I reach the top, I can do what I want and I can destroy everybody else to make myself feel good or abuse everybody else to make myself feel good. That's a chamor. A shor means is that you're a king. A shor means that you're in a leadership position. But on the other hand, yedei shor konehu. He understands that there's something above him, and the fact that he's on top right now, that doesn't make him less responsible, makes him more responsible. You lead life like that, so even when you have people who are working for you, everybody, Be'ezer Hashem, will love you. You'll be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. People will say that that's what a Jew is supposed to be. On the other hand, if you live life like a chamor, you create a society where the worst thing to be is to be a friar, is to work for somebody else. Because the guy who's on the bottom, what is he? He's just an abused individual in a sweatshop. Nobody really cares about him. That's not what the Rabbeinu Shlomo wanted. Yedei Ashor Kaneu V'Chamor Evus Balav. Always aspire to be a shor. Don't aspire to be a chamor. Have a good Shabbos.